You know, tonight I've been given the privilege to speak. Thank you, babe. Love you so much. And all the men of God that give me the privilege to speak, because I love to preach. I love to preach because preaching is in me. Amen? Because Jesus set my life free. I have something to preach about. And tonight, before I go on, I just want to thank God for, of course, my husband, my leaders, Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie, the steering committee, and you, the church, because we would not be pastors if we didn't have you as the church. So I want to thank God for you tonight and tell you they love you very, very much. So, Father, we thank you for your word tonight, God. We pray, Father, that it would go in like a two-edged sword, Father God, and pierce and divide between our spirit, our soul, our joint, our marrow, and discern the very thoughts and the intents of our heart. Because we are living in times, Father God, that you are calling us to give it all. Give it all, God. And we pray, Father, that your anointing be here, Lord, as it already is. Continue, Father, to use me in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Before I get started, I promised a few of you I was going to share a story. A story that happened to us at hunting. And it's a true story, but it's a powerful story. And so I have to share it with you before I get into this message. Well, as you know, we went hunting. It was my hunt. And I was super excited to be able to hunt my deer and shoot my deer and get my deer and all that. And that didn't happen. We drove around a lot. I'm talking about the same road every day for 3 days. Pastor knows that road like the back of his hand. And it's a very small section to hunt in. It's only like, I mean, he knows every tree. Pastor Joe doesn't believe him, but he does. He really does. And he knows every turn, every area. And one thing you might not know about your pastor is that he is prepared. I am talking about from A to Z, he doesn't miss anything. He's prepared. Just like he prepares a message, he prepares for hunting, he prepares for a conference, he prepares to preach, he prepares, period. And so we were prepared in that truck that day from A to Z for everything that could go wrong. Amen? Nothing had gone wrong. A few of the days we were walking, we felt kind of eerie, though, because all the hunters were gone and we were the only ones on the mountain. We got up to this one mountain and we started to see bear thingies, and we said, oh my gosh. And then Pastor, you know, he's not afraid of anything, but when he says, it's time to turn around, it's time to turn around. And we had a gun, we were ready, but we turned around and we walked down. We still had this eerie feeling like somebody was watching us. Weird. I don't know. So we just, you know, we knew that the enemy, of course, he's always watching you. He's always trying to find some way to trap you. Know that, right? Or to scare you or whatever. But that wasn't the case. We just felt like, what's going on here? We're the only hunters left. Everybody's out of this hunt. So we just enjoyed each other's company. We talked a lot. We prayed a lot. We enjoyed each other's company. And the last day, it was actually the last hour of the hunt. We were driving back to our camp, and all of a sudden, on the same road we've been going through for 3 days, boom, we fell into a ravine, a deep ravine. I'm talking about the axle was buried. The whole left side on Pastor's side was completely in the ravine, and my side was not. Well, again, because you have a pastor that's prepared, he squeezed his way out of the truck, and I saw him go to the back. We only had like 10 minutes of light left. And he got an axe. And I said, where did he go? And he was chopping down a tree. Like, whoa, what is he doing? Well, he had a plan in his head to put a tree underneath the tire. And I was like, what can I do? What can I do to help, Lord? What can I do to help this situation? I know I'm going to begin to pray. And I started to pray and ask the Lord to have his way. And all of a sudden, I went into warfare. I thought, you know what? The enemy is trying to do something here, and he is not going to win. Our camp was like almost 30 minutes away. The next house was, I don't even know how far away. And, you know, the enemy was trying to put fear in us. In me, anyway. He's not afraid of nothing. And I am usually not afraid of nothing. But all of a sudden, I started to say, what's going on here? I started to pray, and I started to intercede. And then the Lord said, you have a shovel. Dig the axle out. So We got the shovel. He got the branches. We put it all together. First time we tried, I stood in the back. He said, babe, this is your time. Your supernatural strength is going to come forth. You're going to push as I go out. And I'm like, oh, yeah, right. This is a how many ton truck? But okay. And the first time, nothing spinned out. So we did it again and again. And all of a sudden I said, God, you said that you would send your mighty angels on our behalf. So right now I call forth on those mighty, mighty angels. And I know I'm going to look like it's me pushing this truck out, but I know it's going to be you and the angels. And all of a sudden he said, are you ready, babe? I'm talking about on three, we're going out. And be careful because you're going to go forward into the ravine if you don't hold your balance. And I said, all right. So we said, one, two, three, and there we go. We got out. And I'm not kidding you. The power of God was there. And it pushed us. Those angels. You have angels working on your behalf, people. You have angels. If you call upon the name of the Lord in your time of distress, they are there. No tow truck came. The angels of God came. Amen? That was so powerful. That was our miracle story. And Michelle missed out because she wanted to hear it. But oh well. Tell her, Pat. So tonight I want to give you a message that the Lord gave me saying, give it all up. Pastor talked about giving it all. He talked about stewardship. And at the retreat, some of the things that we were told was to have passion. Pastor Sonny brought a message about passion like I have never heard in my entire life. God challenged me to help my husband grow this church. He gave me that number back, 500. And I began to think, how am I going to help my husband build this church to 500? What is it going to take? Well, I know what it's going to take. It's going to take discipling women of God who want to rise up in the power of God and take their place. And it's going to take men of God, as you just heard, men of God at the mountaintop. It's going to take a team of men and women that are going to rise up and do what God has called us to do. In Luke 6, for the sake of time, do not turn there. It says, Luke 6, 37, I'm going to read it in NLT. It says, do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven. Give, everybody say give, and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full. Pressed down, shaken together, running over with more, poured out onto your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you give back, get back. I like the message version. It says, don't pick on people or jump on their failures or criticize their faults unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Don't condemn those who are down. That hardness can boomerang back at you. Be easy on people. You'll find life a lot easier. Give your life. Give your life and you'll find that your life will come back to you. But not merely given back to you. Given back to you with a bonus and a blessing. Giving, not getting. This is the way generosity begets generosity. Listen, life flow people. You are life flow people. You are coming every Sunday night to be discipled by the Spirit of God. Every teacher and preacher that gets behind this pulpit is here to disciple and to train you and inspire you that you are what God wants you to be. That you're becoming everything, that you can be anything that God has called you to be. That it might feel like you're not growing and it might feel like you're at a standstill, but you are not at a standstill. If you are going forward, if you're making progress, then you are not at a standstill. Hit your neighbor and say, you're going somewhere. At the retreat, I usually go pretty dry. Like, oh my God, fill me. Fill my cup, Lord. And this time I didn't. And this time I didn't go needing to do anything. You know, it was really crazy, but I had nothing to do. Usually I have to go work, do something. This time I just went and hung out with my girls. And it was beautiful. But the last day, the pastor, they called an altar call for pastor's wives. Usually we can't even make it to the altar call, right, ministers? Because everybody crowds the altar first. But they said, hold on, we're going to pray for pastors' wives who are dry, who are on their wilderness time. We want you to come forward. Well, I wasn't one of those ones for the first time in forever, because I feel like I've been on a momentum. I've been hearing God. I've been listening to him. I've been paying attention. I've been seeking him. He's been filling my cup. And my sisters were hurting, though. And they went up, and we began to pray for them. I saw Sister Julie get out of her seat and began to pray for them. And we began to pray for them. And I felt the Lord say, help them, help them, help your brother, help your sister, help them get out of the rut. Help them. And I began to pray for them and pray for them. And I wasn't expecting this, but all of a sudden, Sister Julie began to pray for me. Oh my gosh, that's my mama. I don't know about you, how you feel when I pray for you, but I know how I felt when she prayed for me. I said, my mama is praying for me. She is praying for me. And I take every bit of that anointing, God. I take every bit of that because the Spirit was being transferred. And if you will let God do that to you right now, the Spirit of the Lord wants to put a transfer upon you. The Spirit of the Lord wants to, oh, just lift you up out of your wilderness. He wants to get you to give it all to him. Because if you don't give it all, you're not going to live a life fully lived. That's Christianity. That is Christianity. Not living for yourself, but living for others. But I love what it says in the scripture. Just quit picking on people. Quit jumping on their failures. Start celebrating. And that's a choice that I make. I said, God, if I'm going to help my husband build this church to 500 people, I'm going to start to celebrate people. Well, I will rebuke those that need to be rebuked and correct those that need to be corrected at the time as a spiritual mama. But most of all, I want to be the person that celebrates you, that celebrates the good things that you've done for God and that you're doing, and tell you you're amazing and you can make it. And that's what you need to start doing with each other. You need to start celebrating each other. I want to talk to you just a minute about the difference between a believer and a disciple, because you're coming here to be discipled. One of the pastor's wives ministered this. She said, Jesus gave us a mandate that we were to go into the world and to make disciples out of all mankind, not just believers. You are a believer, but when you come to things like this, you are becoming a disciple. And I want to tell you the difference. It was my friend Sylvia. It was so powerful. I thought, you need to hear this Sunday night. The difference between a believer and a disciple. A believer is the one who just believes. A disciple is the one who learns to practice what he hears. A believer only gets big-headed when they start to get promoted. But a disciple stays humble. Amen? A disciple stays humble. A believer comes to get fed every Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, but a disciple comes to feed. A disciple comes with her own lunch and says, who can I feed today? Where are they? Who can I give this to? A believer gives her tithe, but a disciple gives her all, gives their all. God is calling us to give our all. We don't have time to waste. A believer looks to be encouraged all the time, but a disciple gives encouragement to others. A believer waits for a task to be told to them, but a disciple knows her task and gets it done. A believer is always complaining about getting visits and nobody cares and who's going to visit me and who cares about me, but a disciple visits people. A believer complains about revival taking place, but a disciple makes revival take place. A believer says, I'm waiting, it's too much, I'm dying, this is too hard. A disciple works even when they're hurting. We need to be people that give till it hurts. If we are going to be used in this end time the way God has called us to, I heard those messages at the mountaintop. I heard what the Lord said to the men of God. And I took it for my life too. He's challenging us not just to be passionate, but to be available and to kill the giants in our life. And if we are going to be the men and women of God in Victory Outreach Albuquerque who doesn't just sit and hear the word of God, but we are true disciples who are going to make something happen, then we really have to begin to pay attention to what God is saying. Listen, it's not me speaking it. It's not Pastor speaking it. It wasn't Pastor Pat speaking it. It wasn't Pastor Renee or who else spoke. Any of the 5 minutes of fire, my husband. It was the Spirit of the living God. You need to get past that. You need to quit coming to church to hear your favorite speaker, but you need to keep coming to church to hear the speaker, the voice behind the voice. Listen, I don't have a lot to say, but I do know this. If you don't give it all up today, if you don't give up your hang-ups, if you don't give up your insecurities, if you don't give up your fears, then you are not giving your all. God is looking for us to give our all. Give our all. It hurts to give your all. It's sacrificial to give your all. It doesn't feel good to give your all. But Jesus gave his all. Jesus gave his all. He's our example. And our founders are giving their all. We're giving our all. We're going to spit out messages constantly to get you stirred up that you can do this, that you don't have to listen to the enemy's lies anymore. You don't have to listen to him tell you you're not going to make it. You can't make it. You're no good for nothing. You have nothing to give. Listen, I heard the men's home say they have a lot to give. The women's home has a lot to give. And if you're not careful, congregation, God is going to raise them up and they're going to pass you up in a heartbeat. And that's okay with us because we're not looking for just believers. We're looking for disciples. Disciples. Are you going to be a disciple or not? That's God. He's asking you today, are you going to be a disciple or just a believer? I'm not settling for that. But you know what? That's a fried ice cream of the devil. Being just a believer, I'm not settling for that. I have more to give. I am not done, gang girls. I'll continue teaching you and preaching you, but you're not going to let... I'm not completely giving this baton over because I'm not done. You're not done. We're not done until the Lord says we're done. Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie are not done. They are 75, 76 years old. They're not done. Linda's not done. Margaret's not done. Jenny's not done. Joanne's not done. Charles is not done. Nobody's done. But you can be done. If you want to be done, that's your choice. Stand with me tonight. It's up to you. Do you want to just be a believer? Are you satisfied? I've been serving the Lord for over 40 years. I am not satisfied. I want more of God. I want more of his anointing. I want more of his power, not for me, for you. So I have something to give you. Now, what do you want it for? To have the title and be big-headed? What is that going to do? Just a bunch of pride and hot air. No, that's not what God's looking for. It's time, Victory Outreach Albuquerque. It's time. There's a prophetess that I listen to and I follow, and her name is Cindy Jacobs. God gave her a word in the spirit. The word he gave her was in Spanish. Basta. Do you know what basta means? Enough. Enough. So she began to say, enough is enough. You are either going to believe that you are called. I'm telling Victory Outreach Albuquerque. You are either going to believe that you are called to this church to do a work for God, or you're not. Quit letting the enemy lie to you. Ya basta. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. You need to shake him off of you. We have the power to shake him off of you and throw him into the pit where he belongs. Get him off your mind. Put your hand on your mind and say, get off my mind. Quit playing mind games with me. I'm not listening to it no more. Ya basta. Say it with me. Ya basta. Enough. If you want enough, if you've had enough and you want the anointing of God to fall upon you like never before, come to this altar tonight. because God is about to drop something upon you that you haven't had in a long time. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I give you my all, God. Don't hold anything back. Don't hold anything back right now. Nothing. Don't hold it back. This is not the time. Lift those hands.